January 6, 1927. The soul who lives in the divine will is always equal to herself. The order of providence in the incarnation and in the manifestations of the holy Magi. I was doing my usual acts in the supreme volition, and my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, and stretching out his arms to me, he hugged me, but clasping me so tightly to himself, that I remained completely covered with Jesus. Then he said to me, "My daughter, I am not content if I do not see you completely covered with me, and so dissolved in me, as to no longer be able to recognize yourself in you, but only me in you." Then he added, "My daughter, one who lives in the divine will is always equal to herself. Her acts are symbolized by light, which diffuses equally to the back and to the front, to the right and to the left. At the most, if it contains greater intensity of light, it expands more. But it diffuses always equally in expanding the circumference of light around itself. Now, since the acts done in my will are symbolized by light, as the act of the creature enters my will, it embraces the past, the present and the future. Not lacking the fullness of light, it expands everywhere and, all at once, it takes everyone within the circumference of its unending light. Therefore, no one, as much good as he may do, can say to one who lives in the divine fiat, 'I am like you.' But she alone can say, 'I am similar to the one who created me, whatever he does, I do.' One is the light that invests us, one is the strength, one is the will." Then, after this, I was thinking about the holy Magi, when they visited the little baby Jesus in the grotto of Bethlehem. And my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, see the order of my divine providence. For the great portent of my incarnation, I chose and used a virgin, humble and poor. And the Virgin Saint Joseph is my custodian, who acted as a father to me, and who is so poor that he needed to work in order to sustain our lives. See how in the greatest works, and the mystery of the incarnation could not be greater, we use people whose outward appearance attracts no attention from anyone, because dignities, scepters, riches, are always fumes which blind the soul, and prevent her from penetrating into the celestial mysteries in order to receive a great act of God, and God Himself. But in order to manifest to the peoples the coming of myself, word of the Father, upon earth, I wanted and used royal authorities, learned and erudite men, so that, by their authority, they might diffuse the knowledges of the incarnate God and, eventually, also impose themselves to the peoples. In spite of this, the star was seen by everyone, yet only three of them move, pay attention and follow it. This says that, among all, these alone possessed a certain dominion over themselves, which formed a little empty space in their interior. So, beyond the appearance of the star, they felt my call which echoed within their interior. And heedless of sacrifices, of gossip, of mockeries, because they were leaving for an unknown place and they had to hear much of it, disregarding everything and dominating themselves, they followed the star united to my call, which resounded in their interior as more than a speaking star. It enlightened them, it attracted them, and said many things about the one whom they were to visit. And, drunk with joy, they followed the star. See then, how in order to give the great gift of the incarnation, it took a virgin who had no human will, who was more of heaven than of earth, and who was disposed to this great portent by a continuous miracle. So, we had no need of external things and of human appearances, which might draw the attention of the peoples. However, in spite of this, also to manifest myself, I wanted men who had dominion over themselves, and who would make a little space within their interior, to let the echo of my call resound in it. But was not their surprise in seeing the star stop, not over a royal palace, but over a vile hovel? They did not know what to think, and convinced themselves that there was a mystery, not human, but divine. When they animated themselves with faith, entered the grotto and, kneeling, adored me, As they bent their knees, I revealed myself, and I let my divinity shine forth from my little humanity, and they recognized me as the King of Kings, the one who had come to save them. Immediately, they offered themselves to serve me and to lay down their lives for love of me. But my will made itself known, and sent them again into their region, to let them be the messengers of my coming upon earth in the midst of those peoples. See then, how necessary dominion of oneself and emptiness of heart are, to let my call resound, and to be fitting for knowing the truth and for manifesting it to others.